welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to another episode of the Armchair Survivalist. It is April the 12th in the year 2020, and my name's Kurt Wilson. I'm the Armchair Survivalist, and welcome to my show. If you're hearing me, you obviously know of at least one way to listen to me. Now, if you go to armchairsurvivalist.com, what you can find is different ways to listen to me. At the top of the page, you're going to see listen live in the chat room. Well, you click on that, and you can listen to me when I'm broadcasting Sundays, 2 to 4 p.m. Pacific time. Or you, there's another link, and you'll see a little hand pointing to the right. It says, listen 24 hours a day to the most recent show of the Armchair Survivalist. Click here. Well, if you do that, you'll hear the most recent show, starting at the beginning. Now, on the left-hand side of any of the pages at armchairsurvivalist.com, you'll see the little white nipper dog listening to the RCA Victor gramophone, and you click on that, and that'll take you to a page that shows you all of my past shows for the year, for the current year. I only keep the current year shows, and it'll show you all of those. Now, if you go to the bottom of any of the pages, you'll see all other ways to listen, and I'm on all kinds of different podcasts. Stitcher, Anchor, TuneIn, I'm on the Wayback Machine, iHeartRadio, Pandora, YouTube. There's just so many different ones. I don't want to go through all of them, but pretty much dream up a podcast venue and I'm on it. You just do a search for Armchair Survivalist. Or if you have a satellite system, you can listen to me on Global Star 3 satellite feed. And that's, in fact, on my page, any of the pages, if you scroll down and you'll see the little satellite dish going back and forth, you'll see to the right of that in red, 24/7 live feed. That would be the feed of Global Star 3 satellite. Let's see. Also on the phone, you can listen. Area code 641-741-0371. Now, that's not toll-free, so if it costs you money, oh well. Area code 641-741-0371. All right, so that's the different ways that you can listen to me. And there's still more out there. I don't know. I'm being replayed in some AM stations, some FM stations, some naval broadcasts. I don't care. If you pick me up and you want to play me, be my guest. Go right ahead. Let's see. Let's get some business out of the way for Survival Enterprises. Just to recap, we carry cold steel knives. And this is in our store in Hayden, Idaho. I don't have any of these on the website, which, by the way, is SE1, Samuel Edwards, the numeral 1, so SE1.us, or survivalenterprises.com. But I don't carry any of them on there. I have walking sticks from Cold Steel. When I say walking sticks, they're more like weapons. They don't have a knife in them or a sword in them, but they're closed-cell polypropylene, 11 layers of Kevlar or fiberglass. These things look nice, but believe me, you can use them to defend yourself with if you have to. Well, we still can't take credit cards or debit cards because of the screw-up that Idaho and South Dakota did. See, what happened was we sell CBD. And when Trump got elected, he signed an order pulling hemp away from the cover of the Drug Enforcement Agency. Because hemp is not marijuana. So it fell under the guise of, or under the cover of the U.S. Department of Agriculture. So every state in the union, now Trump signed a federal law, which doesn't affect the states unless they agree to it. So every state agreed to it except South Dakota and Idaho. And it's because the good old boys, Republicans that control the states, just sitting on their thumbs, smoking cigars and wishing each other a happy birthday. Never got any work done. So the banks freaking out are afraid of what can happen if the government arrests anybody. It's a long story. It has to do with asset forfeiture and the like. So they carte blanche canceled anybody who was selling CBD in Idaho and South Dakota. So that's where we sit. Now, we're supposed to be up and running taking credit cards next week. For 2 months, we've been being told that every week. So we'll see. And I'll let everybody know who's on my email list. And, you know, And by the way, the reason I haven't sent out emails lately is because we're being hammered with orders. I send out 6,000 emails at a time. 800 of you actually read them. If I just could figure out which 800 is reading them, then that's all I'd send out to. But I will be sending out emails to everyone who's on our email list as soon as we can take credit cards and let you know that. We are limiting oregano oil, the ultimate daily vitamin. the immune boost. It's because we can't get the oregano oil right now. Our oregano oil comes from Turkey. It is the strongest on earth. And they're not shipping much now. They will be within a month or so. So I'm looking at maybe being able to have more in stock of the immune boost, the ultimate daily vitamins, and the oregano oil. Oh, June, I think. But we have plenty of oregano oil right now. We just can only, we're limiting people. You can only buy one at a time. All right, so let's get into the categories here. Now, unbeknownst to most of you, mainly because the mainstream media doesn't carry it, Africa's about to crash. They have lockdown. If you think we have lockdown in the United States, you ought to see what's happening in South Africa and Africa. They're, because the majority of people that live in that continent have no concept of hygiene, this virus is spreading like crazy. That's bad, but the worst part is the economy is about to crash. The economy is being held up by duct tape and bubble gum, I can tell you right now, just barely functioning. And with this, people having to stay home from work, there's going to be starvation. There's going to be just, the economy is going to hell, and there's nothing that anybody can do about it. They're going to end up having to sink or swim on their own. And the, another thing that is worse than everything else is that the plague of locusts was striking the whole Middle East and heading towards Africa. This plague stopped off in Somalia and went through a breeding season. And now they're headed to Africa. This is going to wipe out, literally wipe out in minutes, crops. When we're talking, there are billions of locusts in this flock. I don't know what else you would call it. It's a plague, but it's heading to Africa, and they're going to get hit with a double whammy. Based on the data from the World Health Organization, and the UN and a bunch of other organizations, not looking at health. They're looking at poverty. This year is going to be putting over a half billion more people in the poverty level. Over a half billion. Organizations that are famous for helping other countries are now helping people in America. You millennials out there who thought that you were invulnerable and, oh, you got a good job, so you're going to go out and start buying new toys, and it doesn't matter how much it costs a month, because, wow, you got a great job, and you're going to buy a house, because this girl you've known for 4 months, you're madly in love with, and both of you think that you're going to make it, you're going to be perfect together forever, so you're both going in together and buying a new house. You guys are, well, you're going to be toast, unfortunately, and you're figuring that out right about now. When you don't have a job, you can't get a job, nobody's hiring, unless you want a job at Albertsons or Fred Meyer's or Safeway making $10 an hour when you were making $15 to $20 an hour. Well, we'll see what happens with that. This is every generation has a crisis they got to deal with. My crisis was dealing with millennials. Starting this month, April, over 30% of the people, of the renters in the United States, didn't pay rent. Over 30% didn't pay rent. Over 30% of mortgages are about to default. If you thought the 2008 housing bubble was a crisis, wait until you see what happens next. Banks were ordered to have enough cash on hand that they could handle any emergency. Okay, and this is what the Federal Deposit Insurance Corporation ordered, and the Treasury ordered. All of the banks in the United States, if you want to function here, you are going to have to make sure that you have enough funds to handle any emergencies, like if there's a run on your bank or something. Well, they canceled that about 2 weeks ago. They said, you know, you don't have to worry about it, because we're just going to keep creating more and more money for you guys to use to help everybody. Well, help you, not everybody, because, you know, Federal Reserve doesn't give up. They don't care, basically, about the fact that over 30% of all mortgages are going to default. We're looking at a gross domestic product that has dropped. There's a lot of this 30% going around. That has dropped already in reality 30%, but my numbers are putting it right around 50%. This is how much the United States manufactures and sends out. No, we're dropping. Our unemployment rate right now is 12 to 13%, and that was as of the 6th of April, and today's the 12th. There are another, in the past 3 weeks total, so far, in the past 3 weeks, over 17 million people have filed for unemployment. You know, the bad thing about having a mom-and-pa store like we do is that we don't qualify for that. We don't qualify for unemployment. We don't qualify for any of the stimulus loans. We don't qualify for anything. So we either sink or swim. I was interviewed by the Coeur d'Alene Press. That's the local birdcage liner here. And they asked me, well, what are businesses doing? What can they do in a pandemic like this? And I said, well, they're either going to stay in business or they're going to fold. There is no contingency plan. I didn't wake up one day and say, you know what? I need to plan for a pandemic. I need to plan for when this totalitarian government orders everyone to stay home and not spend money and not work and not get money, not earn money. And I need to plan for the time when our government orders 100% of small businesses to shut. Now, it didn't happen that way. I never woke up one day and said, you know, I think I'll plan for that. Yeah, I don't think so. Well, now we're getting into the category of food and health. In our meat and poultry and fish processing plants and pork, the processing plants, the slaughterhouses, where they butcher up the animals and wrap them for sales to grocery chains, the majority of people that do this kind of work are Mexican and Muslim. And the Mexicans, I don't care if they're U.S. citizens or not, they generally don't have a concept of hygiene, unless it's taking a shower once in a while. And the Muslims, they wipe their butt with their left hand. This is not a joke. This is not some make-believe hate speech. This is real. Muslims wipe themselves after defecating with their left hand. Now, they spray a little water down there to rinse it off good, and then theoretically they wash their hands afterwards. But that doesn't, you're not going to get it all. I'm terribly sorry. So what these people are not hygienic. So they start getting sick. And if one of them gets the Wuhan virus, it is a domino effect, and it just sweeps through them. And what's happening is these plants are closing. It's quite real. Cargill closed the Pennsylvania plant after some workers tested positive. Now, these are all beef, poultry, chicken or turkey, or pork. Empire Kosher poultry plant closed. Let's see, Sanderson's closed. Tyson and JBS closed a bunch of places, and then Tyson closed the Iowa pork plant. So there's places closing like they're literally closing like crazy. And a lot of these plants, I can go on with the list, but I'm not going to. A lot of these plants are closing because the workers are scared, so they won't even show up at work. So the plants are closing. So it's a domino effect. So the plants are closing. So the ranchers have nowhere to put their cattle or their pigs to be butchered. They don't know what's going on. The same thing's happening with fruit and vegetable growers. Florida is being hammered right now. The fruit and vegetables that are being harvested right now are just being left to rot because they're not even being harvested. Some of them are not even being harvested because the canneries are closing. Everything's shutting down. The supply chain for food is shutting down. There's even a warning that came out about processing plants. And now this is after the fact, and it's like trying to close the gate after the horse escaped. FEMA came out and did a test and decided that if the food industry doesn't acquire enough personal protection equipment, we're going to have shortages in weeks. Now, the reason they say that was because they were envisioning everybody at these plants wearing gowns and protective equipment and masks and gloves and you know, all of that stuff. Well, they don't need it because they're not there to need it. I talked to a rancher north of here, and we had a time a couple years back where there was a hay shortage. And a bale of hay that normally sells for $10 was going for $100. I'm not kidding. And if you don't have it, your cattle are going to die in winter. Well, it's the same thing happening, but now, because there's no grain being harvested or very little grain, farmers are panic buying any grain they can get to feed their animals with. The big problem, this GMO corn that no human actually eats, it's used for ethanol. The plants are closing down because they can't harvest them. Well, not just they can't, there's nothing there to harvest. And yeah, another problem, now you get where I'm going with this. This is all on food. And you've heard the Ice Age Farmer. I've played him a few times, and you've listened to him talk. I've got a cut here that I'm going to play also. Each time, it's showing, and he shows that it's getting worse and worse and worse. The ports are closing down worldwide because the workers don't want to be around each other because they're getting sick. This is a big thing. This Wuhan virus is showing how unhygienic humans actually are. And this is getting really, instead of just slapping the wrist for being unhygienic, it's killing people. Now, I said before that we're just a few meals away from anarchy. Just a few meals. And the way that the students of history, they do it, they call it 9-meal countdown. 9 meals away from anarchy. When I say 9 meals, that means 3 days. Breakfast, lunch, dinner. This is getting to the point where it's getting worse and worse and worse. So much harvesting is going bad and rotting. Here in Idaho, potatoes, they're rotting in the ground. Not all of them, but a lot of them are rotting in the ground because of too much rain. And also, restaurants are not there to buy the potatoes. We can't export them because nobody wants to load them on the ships. And then when the ship hits a dock, nobody wants to unload them from there. So they're leaving them to rot. Now, there's a lot of farmers that are doing roadside stands and selling their fruits and vegetables. That's always the best way to buy anyway. This is getting more and more scary to me. I'm not worried about myself. And I've stored up food and everything else that you can imagine. So I'm worried for you. I'm worried for those out there who go, well, you know, I'll just listen to Kurt. Oh, it's a nice listen. It's funny. He says some interesting things sometimes. And a lot of the people don't listen to me, and they think it's just some noise in the background so they can listen to it while they're crocheting or something. But if you haven't started storing food now, you're screwed. You have to start putting food aside fast as you can. Don't go crazy with it. There's a lot of things happening because also of the solar minimum. There are more cyclones occurring. There are more earthquakes occurring. In fact, Cyclone Harold is what it is the second strongest cyclone ever in history to hit Vanuatu. It's an island that most of you will know they played Survivor on. This is Tropical Cyclone Harold. It's in the Solomon Islands is where it is. Now it's headed towards Fiji and Tonga. Oh, I'll tell you about this when I get done with the Ice Age Farmer. I want you to listen to this clip.
Ladies and gentlemen, just a brief update tonight to make sure that we really appreciate the full gravity of the shutdown, the wholesale demise of modern agriculture that is happening right before our very eyes. We're going to talk about the meat packers and the fact that onions are rotting by the millions in fields right now. And then finally, the fact that, you know, dairies, not only are they dumping their milk, but there are actually co-ops that are financially incentivizing farmers to quit dairy farming. They want you out of the game. They want to shut down producers. And I want to start off with a video that was posted today by Shay Myers.
Hey guys, so what you're looking at behind me are the ramifications of COVID-19. Millions upon millions upon millions of pounds. And this is one pile of many throughout this valley that has more than 1 million pounds in it. We can't donate it. A lot of people ask me, well, why don't you donate? Why don't you go to the food banks? Well, the food banks are mostly full, number one. Number two, even if they weren't full, they don't need more onions. This isn't about not having enough food for you in the grocery store. This is about not having enough food for you in the restaurant. When you're not eating there, you don't need it there. The way I've been describing it to a lot of people that aren't as accustomed to the normal supply chain is that imagine a freeway that's connecting the farm to the city. And that freeway has this massive bridge that goes over a massive river. And that bridge gets knocked out. If that bridge is knocked out, you can't rebuild immediately. Now, are there other routes to get there? Yeah, but it takes longer. And if it takes longer, that means the normal product that's in that supply chain cannot make it. And that's what we're seeing today. Normal shipments in the United States, loads of onions. Normal U.S. consumption is 350 loads a day. We saw sub 200 shipments, 200 loads per day, every single day last week. And the most recent number that I've seen is 127. One third of the normal U.S. consumption of onions is being shipped. That's the shift in the supply chain. That's why you're seeing milk being dumped, tomatoes being dumped, squash in Florida being dumped, flowers being ruined and wasted. This normal supply chain, this normal route, this normal freeway, and those bridges are out. And that is a ramification.
And so again, Shea puts it quite well as one of the largest onion growers in the nation that the bridge is out. There's no way to get products to market. This is the same thing we've heard from ranchers, and it's the same thing we're hearing from dairy farmers who've been asked to step down their production and to dump milk in many cases. What I wanted to highlight today was this particular dairy co-op, Ellsworth in Wisconsin, sent out a letter indicating, like many others, that because of the drop in value in milk and the fact that restaurants and schools, cafeterias, you know, aren't purchasing, all of those things are true. A lot of people have just been dismissing this as a temporary dislocation, a bad allocation, you know, but it's more than that. And this letter proves that. We read down here that the board of directors has approved a program to encourage members to quit dairy farming by paying out the equity in the program. They must sell off their cows to someone outside of the co-op by April 15th. In other words, you have 1 week to stop being a producer, to retire, and get rid of your cows altogether. The urgency of that recommendation and the gravity of the situation is just appalling. And everyone is caught up in this whirlwind of fear, and the pandemic is all that anyone is talking about in the media. And you see people are whipped into a frenzy. And so in that state, they're more likely to make poor or even irrational decisions. To see the dairy industry shutting down like this, literally selling off their herds within a week, how quickly can they gut the food supply of a nation? Well, we're watching it in real time, and the answer is pretty damn fast in this modern era. Of course, they have ready for us cockroach milk and other dairy alternatives. We saw Starbucks blaming dairy as their carbon footprint scapegoat. It's been an all-out war on dairy farmers already to date, but now this has really escalated to literally paying them to stop producing. That's just where we are now. Now, the same situation is true, as I said, across three different vectors tonight. The onions, where they can't get to market, the dairy, where they're incentivizing people to quit, and then here, with the meat processors shutting down, ranchers have no place to take their beef or their pork, in many cases, to get it slaughtered. Most processors I work with have seen a significant increase in worker absenteeism, so they're not able to run their production lines as quickly as possible. Their boning lines, everything is shut down, slowed down minimally. Whether that's due to the actual virus, you know, the actual sickness, or childcare issues because the schools are shut down, I just want to point out that would be a side effect of the government totalitarian response, or even fear of contracting the disease, which would be a side effect of the media overhyping this disease completely, is unclear. In other words, most of what's going on now has nothing to do with people that are sick. It's because of these ridiculous shutdowns imposed by the government and the media hype that's actually causing these food shortages to materialize. That's what's making the situation go critical right now. In some cases, the decline in available workers is severe. And that caused Carrie on Twitter here to comment, why can't we take care of this? Can't we declare a national disaster and make sure that we're able to process this? Because otherwise, there are a number of problems, from the fact that we're putting ranchers and farmers out of business to the, as one euphemism put it, significant animal welfare problems that are caused when you have a backup of animals that can't go to slaughter. And so they you don't maybe not have food for them. You may not have space for them. This is causing problems. It's a logjam throughout the production supply chain. And then she goes on to say, don't you realize we're in a position right now where we're going to have to start dumping beef, just like you see people dumping milk right now, if we let this monopoly continue? And that's not rhetoric. Ladies and gentlemen, we saw that this was actually the case in New Zealand as well, where butchers were left off of the critical infrastructure list. They were not designated as essential. And so as a result, they had stocked up on millions of dollars of meat and were forced to throw it away in many cases, which is just... Now look at this release from Tyson, which is, of course, one of the largest meat production companies in the world, certainly in the United States. And their update here today says they've added precautions like taking the temperature of workers at our locations before they enter our facilities. While that's being done with a thermometer right now, we're even adding infrared temperature scanners throughout the factory so we can just immediately tell if someone gets a fever and send them home. Well, this is actually, I just have to point out, this is a lot like what Kudlow was saying would be true for everyone in the United States today. In this rather scary article, U.S. economy will reopen, but there are going to be big changes. Larry Kudlow goes on, economic advisor to Trump, goes on to say, even after we return to work and school, we're probably going to have big changes. You're going to have to stay home if you have any signs of sickness, notably a temperature. And then we're going to face widespread and ongoing testing, and you will submit to routine temperature taking. Although it sounds like they'll just have infrared scanners like the drones in China. And like the Tyson production facility. But I digress from the food production, and if I tried to cover every aspect of the totalitarian overreach, well, this video would go on far too long. So back to Tyson. Do they actually care that their business is slowing down and gradually shutting down the actual meat production? No, they do not, because for years, in fact, this begins back in 2016, they've been making strategic and significant capital investments in fake meat, in lab-grown meat, in plant-based products. As I said, this is 2016. Tyson is making investments in the fake meat space. This is 2018. They continued to make those investments and then spin up internal plant-based lines. And then even just last year, they introduced a new half-beef, half-pea burger, as if they knew somehow that they would need to shore up this declining supply of beef with something, so that they could keep burgers going into grocery shelves. In fact, they've been way ahead of this whole situation, haven't they? Somehow they knew that's because it was planned. This was an agenda. This is a plandemic. It aligns completely with the UN IPCC's recommendations for land use and food production. You know, it doesn't stop at Tyson, obviously. I'm really glad to see that Bill Gates is finally getting some scrutiny in these last few days that he very well deserves. With Fauci up there dancing around, holding the country hostage, it's just a disgusting situation. And it seems completely transparent. So I'm glad that finally Gates is getting some attention properly. But we need to step back and remind ourselves that Gates is equally involved with agriculture as the health situation. The guy is literally funding 11% of the World Health Organization's budget, and he's making equally large investments in agriculture to take over everything. Here's a piece this year called Toxic Agriculture and the Gates Foundation, talking about how the $46 billion Gates Foundation has been going around buying up every seed company that they can find. In fact, I'll just read from the article. The Gates Foundation has rapidly become the most influential actor in the world of global health and in agricultural policies. Yes, he's there too. Remember, the food chain reaction game was the other simulation, like Event 201, that talked about food shortages that would result from an outbreak like this. And here we are now, seeing it materialize. The foundation, the Gates Foundation, is working with agri-commodity Cargill to develop the soya value chain in southern Africa. And what that means is they'll be bringing GMO crops in there. The Gates-founded project will likely enable Cargill to capture a hitherto untapped African soya market and eventually introduce genetically modified soybeans down there as well. Finally, they will take over all food production, as has long been their goal for hundreds of years. More than 80% of Africa's seed supply comes from millions of small-scale farmers recycling and exchanging seed. It's for that reason that he started Ag One, a new effort to take over all agriculture and use genomic mapping and AI to actually scan the solution space of seed genes and come up with varieties that they own, that they take the best aspects from any seed in the world, and then they patent it. Bill Gates and others have opened the door for multinational companies to come in, including the acquisition of every mentionable, sizable seed enterprise on the African continent. They are buying it all up, hoovering up everything, so that just as Tyson did, right? Tyson bought up all meat production, and now they're replacing it with fake meat. And that's exactly what's happening here. They're buying up all the seed production, and they're doing their genomic mapping, and they will replace real heirloom genetics with their transhumanist seeds. I'll leave it there because I really just wanted to highlight the fact that it's both crops and then the meat production, beef and pork and poultry all. And then again, that the dairy is not just dumping their milk. This is not a temporary supply chain interruption. They're incentivizing people to shut down. This is a wholesale demolition, controlled demolition of our food supply.
All right, now we're going to get into the Wuhan section. Now, the problem with that is there's so much data that I don't have them set up properly. You know, I usually have them numbered and I can segue from one to another. Well, I can't. There's too much data. So I'm just going to read them in no particular order. And you guys can go, if you're interested in any of these, you can go to armchairsurvivalist.com, check on the show notes, click on the 12th of April, and then you can pull up these things. There's no way I can do this and not sound racist. It just doesn't work. The Chinese are the carriers of this disease. That's a generality, but I would say 90% of all Chinese in America have been to China in the past year. The Chinese are the carrier of this Wuhan virus. Almost 500,000 have flown to the United States since January of this year. Almost 500,000. And they keep, they'll fly to Europe and then fly to Canada and then come down through the borders. There's so many ways that they're getting in here. And every single hotspot in the United States, every single hotspot in the world, you will find a large contingency of Chinese. Britain is joining many countries that are furious with China. China is just been lying since day one. We know from the information that we have gathered on the deep web, the dark web, millions of Chinese have died from this. Now, the World Health Organization is controlled by China. And Trump is looking at, and when we can hear this, the guy that's in charge of the World Health Organization, he's not even a doctor. And he is a parrot for China and gives their excuses all the time. Well, Trump's looking at defunding the World Health Organization. CBS, you know, the mainstream media hates Trump. Mainstream media hates males that are Republican. They don't like it. They don't like anybody. They don't like men. Men, they just flat don't like. So they don't like Trump. So some female took a video of herself crying and claimed she was forced to quit her job because she was asked to work without a face mask. And CBS tweeted that. And so did NBC and so did ABC and so did, all of these communist networks posted this phony video. Turns out she hasn't worked in that hospital for a year. This is what I call peer reporting. This is when person A does a report, and person B, C, D, E, F, G, H, I says, hey, that sounds cool, I'll copy it. They don't do anything. Not one of them double checks anything. The mainstream media does not verify any news stories they get. They grab them and pack them into their 1 or 2 hours on the air. China has been flooding, and I know you've heard about this, they've been flooding Europe with defective medical equipment, masks that are contaminated, ventilators that don't work, that have rusted parts internally. And then they have the gall. Italy donated a whole bunch of equipment and masks and gowns to China. And then when Italy got hit hard, they wanted to buy some, they wanted them back. And China said, sure. How much did we pay? Yeah, that's what you'll pay. Well, China didn't pay anything. Italy donated it to them. And China is selling it back to Italy. China's profiteering from this virus spread astoundingly all over the world. I don't understand how anybody can continue buying anything made in China. We've had thousands of our pets die because of toxins that Chinese have put in dog food. We've had thousands of humans die because of toxins that Chinese have put in normal food. I myself got ptomaine poisoning twice from eating fish that came out of China. Why the hell do we take anything from China that we're going to put in our mouth or wear on our body? I mean, if you're going to buy stuff cheap, if you're going to buy clothing from China, don't even try it on. Take it home. Wash it good. Hot water and soap. Dry it in the dryer. Then try it on. If it doesn't fit, oh well, take it back. We had a woman come in here 2 weeks ago. She had a rash from bottom of her neck down to her ankles. She had bought a one-piece, I don't know what the hell you call these things, yoga suit or whatever, skin tight. And instead of washing it first, she wanted to go to the gym and show it off. She did. Developed a rash because of the antifungicide that they had used when they imported these. Here's something else. A lot of these things that I'm going to be reading you and telling you guys about, most people would just overlook. They wouldn't even think about it. Coronavirus traces found in Massachusetts wastewater. So your wastewater, you're in your sewer, your garbage, your water from the shower and everything goes into the water treatment plants. And then it's treated and either released into the ocean, released into a river, or recycled back into your fresh water. But what's been happening, and this literally happens all over the world, any diseases that the local population have, well, you're going to be using your sewer. You're going to be pooping and peeing and all of that good stuff. And vomiting, and all of that's going down in the sewer, and then it goes into the wastewater treatment plant, which is not made to sterilize the water. They put chlorine in it, yeah, but if they put enough chlorine in it to totally sterilize the water, you physically couldn't drink the water, and nor could you put it into the ocean. It would be too dangerous. So it goes to the wastewater, and then the water is cycled back to wherever, the ocean, the river, your fresh water, and the diseases are in there. So the coronavirus is being picked up in the wastewater. Now, there's that part. But what happens is when they say picked up in the wastewater, that wastewater is being cycled back into the ocean. So now the fish are getting it. So now the aquaculture is picking up the disease. And that disease is going to sit in those animals. And it's either going to kill them or they're just going to be a carrier of it. So this is spreading differently and faster than people are even expecting. There was a big thing this week about how racist this disease is, the Wuhan virus, and how the black parts of the United States are being hit harder than the white parts, and that's very racist of us. It's all our fault. You see, the white people's fault. And there was the Surgeon General came out, and he's a black guy. And he explained, and I watched the whole explanation. He's saying, look, what's happening, and the reason is because if your immune system is in tip-top shape, you're just going to get the sniffles and feel a little sore for a while. But if you have hypertension, high blood pressure, diabetes, if you're morbidly obese, if you eat crap, drink crap, if you stay up late, don't get a lot of sleep. You see where he was going with this. He was telling people if your immune system's compromised, you're a greater target and you're greater at risk than people who aren't. That's exactly what he was saying, and he got hammered because of that. You can't tell the truth because that's against the law, it seems, to the liberals. So that's the real life. That's real. If your system is compromised anyway, I don't care how it is, you can be compromised if you smoke. If you smoke, then your system is compromised. If you don't smoke and you don't drink and you're not obese and you have nothing else going on wrong with you, you got a better chance of surviving anything that comes your way, in spite of what this is. It doesn't have to be a virus. It could be anything. It could be bacteria. But to the degree you have compromised your system, to that degree, you are a higher possibility of suffering from it. And also, people who take drugs, not just recreational. I'm talking the ones that were prescribed to you by the witch doctors in the United States. So you're taking drugs, your immune system is compromised. No matter what the drug is, your immune system to a degree is going to be compromised. So you have to be careful what you're doing. You have to be aware of what you're doing. I know it's not easy because you were raised to believe that the authority figures in the hospitals are right. And that's easy, you know. Being intelligent is hard work. Being a sheeple takes the path of least resistance. Well, let's see, Fauci. Here's this guy. Yeah, he's talking about a mandatory vaccine. There might be a necessity for mandatory vaccine. Federal prisons go into lockdown all throughout the United States. Now, I don't see first thing that's happening, and I'm seeing this in many states. Obviously, all of them that are controlled by communists. They're letting prisoners go. As long as it's not for a capital crime like rape or murder. Well, rape, no, they're letting rapists go too. Murder. Let's just say murder. They're letting people out of the jails because they don't want them to get disease in the jails. Because in a jail, you're locked down. You're like being on a cruise ship. You ain't going nowhere. So now they decided the federal prisons are going to go into lockdown and keep everybody in the prisons. And there are a lot of the prisons now already have people who are diseased. See, they have conjugal visits. They have visits. Even during this time, the ACL sued the federal government so that some of these federal prisons could keep having visits. And these visitors are bringing the disease. Come on, Johnny, let's go see your dad in jail and kill him. I mean, this is basically what's happening. Well, let's see. Now there's more to this. And you find this mostly, this overreach of control. You find this mostly in areas that are controlled by the communists. Glenwood Springs mandates citizens wear masks. Inside, outside, doesn't matter. You're mandated to wear a mask. Or you can receive up to a year in jail. Now, this is in Colorado, so that's a communist nation itself, just like California is. They decided that if you don't wear a mask, you can go to jail. Perfect. Send somebody who's healthy to jail so that if there is an infection, it's kept in one solitary area. Trump was talking about, and as a matter of fact, there is a dozen doctors online that are saying, yes, this stuff works. Hydroxychloroquine. It's a malaria drug. You take that with zinc and not erythromycin, but zithromycin, and it'll kill the virus. Well, half of that we have in the United States comes out of India, with 47% of it. It's not even made in the United States, and India is no longer exporting it. We have to start making our drugs in the United States. This is asinine. This is self-destructive and stupid. But half of the hydroxychloroquine comes from India. The military has been warning of coronavirus breakouts aboard ships. Yes, there is a half a dozen ships right now, like the Enterprise, an aircraft carrier, that have people who on it aboard ship that are sick. Now, many times I've said that this disease, like all diseases, will be passed by stupid. Here's another example of stupid. So in March, knowing full well that the disease is worldwide, there were a bunch of people decided to take a cruise to Antarctica. Over half the people on that cruise, that's 217 people from Australia, Europe, and the United States, are tested positive for Wuhan virus. Can you believe that is stupid? Knowing full well and watching the news saying, yes, this cruise ship with 2,100 people on it, nobody will let it dock anywhere. And this other cruise ship with 1,700 people on it, half of them are dying. And they said, wow, that's awful. Hey, honey, I got an idea. Let's take a cruise. Well, the news came out that New York City was going to possibly temporarily bury victims in a city park. Oh, my Lord, everybody got up about that and got mad and threatened. And I mean, it was ridiculous. Like, oh, this is racist. I know you're going to hide all the black deaths in the park and blah, blah, blah. And they said, no, we're not. No, we're not. Honestly, we're not going to do that. We don't need to. We're not going to do that. And then the video comes out. Prisoners were being used to bury caskets in the park, in a big ditch, just like they did in Russia and in China. Dug a big ditch, and they have no clue how many they put in. When I say ditch, I'm talking something about 12 feet deep, 20 feet wide, and we're not sure how long it is because they couldn't get the whole report. The Wuhan crematoriums are still working overtime. They haven't stopped. They're still burning bodies 24/7. Unfortunately, the communist government's not waiting for the person to be totally dead before they throw them in the crematorium. You can read about it yourself. I'm not going to go into it. Let's see here. I have, U.S. Army retired colonel came out and said, yes, this was leaked from a Chinese lab. There's so much data from that happening. I wonder how many people are killed in China because they know about this and the government doesn't want anybody else to know about it. I have a map here that shows where the flights these infectors took, the Chinese, where they landed. And this, you can go look at it yourself. It's put up by ABC News. And every place where they landed is a hot spot. And you can see it yourself. One of the directors of the World Health Organization has said, he came out and said that I think what we ought to do is if somebody in the household has the disease or tests positive, we should take him and put him someplace to quarantine him. In other words, snatch and grab. Yeah, I'd like to see that in America. I'd like to see that once in America. The Chinese government is noticing a whole bunch more disease in Wuhan and the local area, so they've warned everybody that they're going to have another shutdown. So they warned them they're going to have another shutdown. All right? Think about that. We have right now more Chinese escaping from China, flying everywhere in the world that allow them in. This is a second wave. There's so much bogus, ridiculous crap that's happening. It's stretching my imagination. I'm astounded that people haven't started literally arresting the government agents that are enforcing these draconian illegal regulations. I'm in North Idaho. Idaho has, from the beginning, 9 deaths that they attribute to the Wuhan virus. There's no verification because nobody can see these autopsies. Yet they have everybody locked down in the whole state of Idaho. They have people going bankrupt. They have people, there are businesses that are not going to start back up. They can't. There are mortgage holders. There are landlords that own all kinds of commercial property that they're not getting paid. And so these landlords are going to be saying to their bank, you know, sorry, I can't make my payment this month. There is a lot that's happening. I really think that at the end of all of this, every single government agent, every single one from city, county, state, federal, who enforced any of this crap, be taken to task. Take them to court. Have another Nuremberg trial system set up. Well, I've got some data here. Many of you don't know about it, but the deep state is hiding a lot of the truth from us. And I'm going to try and give a little bit of it to you each show. Here's some more.
The man who at the age of 14 in 1978 invented email. Yes, the inventor and copyright holder of email. Oh, yes. Dr. Shiba, welcome to the Next News Network.
Great to be here, Gary. Thanks for having me.
You posted something last week that I reported on, your tweet. And this is where you said that the CV fear, the fear mongering by the deep state, will go down in history as one of the biggest frauds to manipulate economies, suppress dissent, and push mandated medicine.
I've been a student of politics since I was a kid because I grew up in an India which had a caste system. I was considered an untouchable, which is the lowest of the Indian caste system. The medical system we're moving towards is a top-down system, totally controlled by big pharma, big ag, and big vaccine manufacturers. Sustainable development goals, you know, signed off by the United Nations and all their countries in 2015. It's called SDG 3, which was signed in 2015. They paint a utopia, Gary. It's this utopia of the elites. Subsequently, in an immunization 2030 document as an addendum to that, They say the way we get to utopia, these 17 goals, is we must immunize everyone on the planet, e.g. vaccinate everyone. And the reason this is important is, look, I created a company called Cytosolve, one of the other inventions I did out of my PhD work, to use the computer to understand chemical reactions in our body and on our cell, to use basically use a computer to model diseases so we could eliminate the need for animal testing. So Cytosolve is this amazing invention which allows me to do in a different way what my grandmother did intuitively, which is to understand the combinations and mixtures of chemicals to figure out medicines from food and natural products faster, cheaper, and safer. When I built that, I said, wow, pharma guys would want to use this because it takes them 15 years to build a drug, $5 billion. And I don't know if you know this, they're actually, the pharma industry is in peril right now. They're not making any money, really any money from pharmaceutical drugs because lots and lots of investment in R&D, and they're getting less and less new drugs allowed by the FDA because of their toxicity. So what pharma companies have moved to is vaccines. The 1986, the vaccine court was created. John Kennedy implemented the National Vaccination Act in 1962 under a fake science or an outdated science of the understanding of the immune system. That led to many injuries that took place between 1962 to 1986. In a response to those injuries, another Kennedy, Ted Kennedy, led the creation of the National Vaccine Injury Program, which led to the creation of the vaccine courts, not in the judicial department, but under Health and Human Services, which basically allowed indemnification of vaccine manufacturers so you couldn't sue them, and the maximum liability for death was $250,000, okay? And so we're at a situation now that for pharma companies, vaccines are pure profit, no liability, no risk, they can't get sued. When I came into looking at the one-size-fits-all vaccine program, there were other activists in this field, and frankly, many of them were controlled opposition. People like Bobby Kennedy was playing a good game, saying he's against vaccines. Meanwhile, he endorses Hillary Clinton, who is vaccine queen, okay? So the position I took was I said, we need to really educate people on the immune system. You'll see the videos I started doing. They started going viral, and the movement started taking off. And then, in fact, 5 days before the coronavirus stuff hit, about a week before, is when we won a major victory in New Jersey against these vaccine mandates. The deep state of a few set of people from the Gates Foundation to the Zuckerbergs to Hillary Clinton congealed with the UN and the deep state elites. They're going to fear monger on coronavirus because of the ignorance of the medical profession. Most MDs do not know what the immune system is. They don't even study nutrition. Based on that ignorance, they were going to scare the hell out of people with the coronavirus to essentially say, we need to do this for the quote unquote common good. That's what we're seeing go on.
There's speculation, considerable speculation, that the virus is actually a manufactured bioweapon. Now, the State Department, among others, are pushing back against that narrative, simply calling it Chinese and Russian disinformation.
What happens is this kind of virus, if you think about a big ball representing your cell, these little particles land on that cell, and their goal is to get into the cell and use your cell's machinery to replicate themselves. We have about 380 trillion viruses in our body. It's called the virome. We have about 60 trillion bacteria in our body, and we have about 6 trillion cells, which is what we're made of. Coronavirus is a class of viruses that create flus. These ones create respiratory syndrome. The coronavirus in Wuhan was a different strain than the one that was in Iran versus the one that was in Italy. And there's reports that I've read, it's hard to verify a lot of this, that all of those different viruses go back to one common branch, which actually goes back to Fort Detrick, okay, in the United States and North Carolina. The U.S. deep state sent people over to Wuhan, and that's how it got given in China. This is one theory. Whether it came in or not, my view is that if you believe in the concept of a set of people who don't care about the U.S. national interests or the Chinese national interests or the Indian national interests or Italian, they're more care for their own global interests. You know, you could view a scenario where it got created by the deep state and got put out there. What was going on at this time? Hong Kong was blowing up. Remember that? And what people do not know is 6 months before the coronavirus, there were massive anti-pollution protests by Chinese citizens in Wuhan. You don't protest in China without risking your life. It's not like they have the First Amendment there. So large numbers of people were taking to the street and protesting, tens of thousands, because the Chinese government was going to build one of the largest incinerator plants there, which was going to just spew out pollution. And the people in China, the everyday people, really care about their health. And there have been pollution protests since 2007. It's extremely growing. And then you don't hear any news about it. You see Hong Kong completely disappear, serves the globalists. When you're a student of politics and a student of medicine, you start seeing these connections. Out of the 30 vaccines recommended by the CDC for young kids, not one of them has been a placebo, saline placebo control tested. And in fact, the one that they said they did a test on the HPV Gardasil vaccine, it was a fraudulent test.
That doesn't surprise me. So what do you think is going to happen with this vaccine? Do you think they're going to roll it out? Do you think they're going to mandate it like they just passed that law in Denmark?
What they're saying is there's this boogeyman called the virus, and you need the vaccine to help you stop that, okay? Boogeyman, savior. Savior's Bill Gates, Clinton Global Initiative, etc., Big Pharma. If you actually understood the immune system, it's laughable. The reality is the immune system has evolved over billions of years. We grew up in bacteria and virus. We're supposed to play out in dirt. That's how the immune system gets turned on. So what happens is it's people who have immunocompromised immune systems, which means their immune systems are not firing on all cylinders. So imagine you have three cylinders, it's only firing on two. You know what happens? The third cylinder has to take all the effort, right? Well, that third cylinder in immunology is called cytokines. It fires so hard that it overreacts. And it starts not only attacking the virus surface, but also starts attacking your own tissue. So it's your own body attacks itself because of a weakened and dysfunctional immune system. Well, how do you get a weakened and dysfunctional immune system? Eat sugar all day. Eat a diet that no longer has any vitamin D and nutrients. And that's why I wrote that letter to the President of the United States. This is really about immune health. This is the fact that we don't get enough vitamin D, we don't get enough vitamin A, we don't get enough vitamin C. I mean, there's other things, but we can focus on those three things. In Chad, in African country of Chad and Djibouti, there's only been one COVID case and no deaths. Why is that? Well, because people live probably lives that we should probably think about living. They're out in the sun. They're, you know, digging up roots. We may consider these people third world. So the solution is pretty simple. At least get out in the sun. If you can't do that, you got to boost up on vitamin D, vitamin D, vitamin D. We're not getting sun. We're not getting fruits and vegetables. A depleted culture for 25 years. Monsanto, those pesticides affect the gut microbiome, which throw our gut off. And then we're eating high sugars. I mean, it's a recipe for death. But we're not addressing that. We're like hyping up this virus. And what is the result? You have people hiding out in homes, people getting ready to accept fascism, not addressing the fundamental issue, which is immune health.
I'm envisioning a time where we're going to see the same thing. Coronavirus vaccine is free for everyone today, right? So that's, I think, a future.
Well, it's going to even be more unfortunate than that. It'll be, oh, Gary, you know, your driver's license is coming up for renewal. Did you get all your vaccines? You can't travel. Hey, you can't take the train or the bus. Hey, you can't go to the gym. You can't go here. This is where this is headed. A gym will say, well, we can't allow you in here, Gary. You know, we don't want to harm all of our other people, right? Do you remember when, who was it? Michael Jordan played with the flu. People are like, wow, look at Michael. You know, he's playing there with the flu. He's strong, right? This entire thing is a master setup. It's chess move after chess move. And it's brought to you by Anthony Fauci.
But now we're learning from the WikiLeaks drops that he is a huge supporter of Hillary Clinton and somebody you have actually called destructive. Why should we be concerned with the advice that the president is getting from Fauci?
Anthony Fauci, in my view, should be indicted. If people actually knew what this guy actually did, he's been with the government since Reagan times, 40, 50 years. And then Bush and Obama and all the presidents up to here. How did he build his career? He built his career on the false narrative that HIV causes AIDS. Peter Duesberg, who I've spoken to, who was a truly great scientist, you know, the youngest guy to get tenure at Berkeley. And Peter said, wait a minute, there is no causal relationship between this virus, HIV, which he considered a very harmless virus, and AIDS. He was vilified, you know, all of his grants went away. And the guy that promoted this lie was Fauci's predecessor by the name of Gallo, Robert Gallo. Robert Gallo was brought up on scientific misconduct charges. He literally stole the HIV virus from France. He couldn't produce enough of the virus because they couldn't find it. He created a bogus HIV test. Fauci came to his rescue. I think there was a power play. Fauci essentially became took the lead. Gallo was put into the back, and that was the beginning of this guy's career. You know, he writes about how he hangs out with Bono and, you know, remember the whole AIDS and all the stupid celebrities getting involved in this nonsense, right?
Oh, yeah.
This was a, so Fauci, he's a veteran of this. This ain't his first rodeo. He learned how to create bogus science, to promote bogus science, to create the fear of HIV causes AIDS. Billions of dollars were spent on this. A lot of people died because people used drugs like AZT. I had a very good friend of mine who died from it. And, you know, people didn't learn. HIV is frankly a harmless virus. Okay? The people who were dying from it were, again, immunocompromised. Gays at that time, you know, were having 1,500 partners. Were doing meth, amphetamines, all sorts of drugs. They were destroying their immune system. You had IV drug users who were destroying their immune system, and you had people getting blood transfusions, not because of the virus in the blood, but because they would get immunosuppressive drugs. The simple point here from a scientific standpoint is when you lower and you destroy the immune system. So Fauci doesn't want to talk about that. Everything is about the boogeyman of viruses. Fauci knows what he's doing. He is the face of pharma and vaccines, and he sees his opportunity to become, you know, the hero in all of this.
The one big narrative that I've seen that's been presented is that, well, more people die from the flu, but there's this massive, massive, terrifying visual of people being intubated and people eating bats and all this horrific drama. Visual propaganda. And now states are in lockdown mode. National Guard has been deployed. State guards have been deployed. Tents are being set up in cities and in Walmart parking lots and hospital parking lots. And you're having this the spirit of fear descend on this country and the world at large. But why don't we do the same thing for the flu?
You have to understand, pharma and media work very closely together. Many, many years ago, you know, one of the companies I built, I had my second life with email. I originally did it for the Clinton White House. They ran a contest. I was a graduate student at MIT to automatically read and process emails. I ended up winning that contest, Gary, and I started a company called Echo Mail. When I created that technology, I had many people starting to want to use this for analyzing email. One of the companies that was very interested in knowing about this was one of the leading PR companies in the world called Burson Marsteller. And I remember going out as a young entrepreneur, I was running my company, meeting with one of the senior executives. And this was over dinner. And he was openly boasting about how Burson helps companies in crisis management. And he was saying that Eli Lilly, at that time, was having a major problem. Prozac sales were going down. And I said, well, what did you do? He goes, well, first I went to Eli Lilly, changed their branding. Hey, you're no longer a drug company. You help the world. The second thing he goes I had them do was spin out some nonprofit companies. One of the nonprofits, he said, was a company which said, we need to protect battered women. And that organization took out ads, which was full page ads, which would, if you saw it in a newspaper, would say, is your husband beating you? Do you know of someone, one of your friends, whose husband is beating them? Make sure they're taking Prozac. So they create a narrative of we're trying to help the distressed and we are the drug company. We want to help all these darkies in Africa and India, etc. You know, we need GMOs. Gates is a savior. These guys are very clever at creating, spending millions of dollars to create the narratives of helping the quote unquote the oppressed. And then they will inject them with their pharmaceutical drugs. These indigenous people actually knew how to take care of their health. But they don't want us to believe in our grandmothers. They want to believe in this idiot, okay, Bill Gates, who, by the way, never created DOS. He didn't write 50,000 lines of code I did. And, you know, his mama and papa introduced him to people and bought someone else's DOS and flipped it. But he's a Harvard dropout, and he was able to patent his stuff, so he gets to be a gazillionaire. You see what I'm saying? Or a Zuckerberg. Mm-hmm. So these guys have built false histories of their eminence in the technology field. They leverage it to say they're going to be saviors. And that savior solution is not food, is not exercise activities. It's about injections into the bloodstream of people and to control them. That's what they're talking about. And every American needs to wake up that the lawyer lobbyists, the people I'm running against three lawyer lobbyists. I'm the only scientist or an inventor, a guy who works for a living. These lawyer lobbyists are the people who implement the desires of the deep state. That's what's going on. So what we're witnessing right before us should be a wake-up call to every person. I don't care if you're Democrat, Republican, Independent. The issue of health goes beyond all those parties. And what you'll realize, all of those establishment parties want to hurt you and want to control you. They want to make you a little atomic unit where you become a revenue generator for people like Fauci's clan and these kind of people. And no academic at MIT, Harvard will say anything. You know why? Because they owe their grant money to people like Fauci, because it's a cabal. If you say anything, you're out. That's what happened to Peter Duesberg. Wow. So that's what we're dealing with. And unfortunately, you know, that's, you know, the president, he may have good gut instincts, but he's not able to expose these people. You know, I have had calls from senior level economists all over the country saying, Shiva, I saw your videos. You need to keep doing them. The president is being bamboozled by this circle around him. And that's why I wrote that letter, Gary. That letter basically lays out in four pages very clearly what the problem is, that you have a fake science of the immune system. Here's the real science. And I actually proposed to the president a protocol, which is basically vitamin A, vitamin A, D, C, and some iodine. And I said, let's triage people into four groups. Those people are COVID, let's put them in one group. Those people are immunocompromised, let's give them this group. Those people who are in critical care, let's give them a particular IV vitamin C. And the third group, who are healthy, let's give them some maintenance dose and get them back to work. That's what we should be doing, not one size fit all medicine. This is treat everyone like, you know, like they're basically part of the, you know, some deep state party, right? We're just minions. And in fact, in 2003, when I went back to MIT to pursue my PhD, MIT created a new department called biological engineering, which I was one of the first early graduates. And one of the tenets at that time was personalized medicine, the right medicine for the right person at the right time. So people like Fauci aren't even practicing modern medicine. He's practicing outdated fake science medicine. It's criminal.
Now, you're currently running for Senate in Massachusetts as a Republican against Ed Markey.
Massachusetts is really the epicenter of the deep state. That's what Massachusetts is. It's not Washington, D.C. If you actually take the deep state and you put a microscope, you go to, you know, 100x and you go deeper and deeper zoom, then you start seeing the swamp scum. And if you go deeper, you find out the connective tissue of the swamp scum is a bunch of lawyers and lobbyists. And that swamp scum comes in a 1 mile radius between MIT and Harvard, all of them. Our election for US Senate is no longer a US Senate race for Massachusetts. We have so many volunteers coming from below, a lot of mothers, women, and as well as from outside of Massachusetts, because they see this as an election for truth, freedom, and health. They want one of them fighting for them, a working class kid who worked his butt off. I'm running against three potential guys, right? Markey, who's been in Congress for 50 years. People should start asking, what can you make? Can you make a piece of software? Can you build a bridge? Do you know how to fix a plumb? You know, nothing. Because they were afraid that I would beat him, they ran another dope, Joe Kennedy. Again, a nice guy who's a liberal aristocrat, $70,000 private schools for high school, gets into Harvard Law School, gets a nice DA job on the Cape where he can hang out with his family, hang out in the sun. And now he believes this is his inheritance, already has $50 million in inheritance, and God knows how he made that, right? He didn't. Everything I've earned, everything you've earned, most of us earn money for a living, right? These guys have no skills, nothing. And then when they knew that I'd probably beat him, Gary, they decided to run in some other lawyer who's got like 100 Twitter followers in the GOP establishment. But the bottom line is this election in Massachusetts is really going to be the dialectic that represents what's going on in this country, producers versus parasites. That's what we're looking at. Do we want to vote for producers, people who make stuff, or do we want to continue voting for parasites? And especially in a time of crisis like this, who do we want helping us? Look at who Trump's surrounded with. He's surrounded with vipers right now, total vipers. There are really three forces in any political situation. Two of them are against the people. Only one of them is for the people. One of the forces is the existing overt establishment, openly out there to want to screw people. And everyone says, oh, yeah, yeah, they're the establishment, right? And then you have everyday people on the ground who want to change things. But in between change agents and the establishment comes a third group, what I call the NSOE, the not so obvious establishment. It's almost like a force of nature. And the not so obvious establishment is created by the establishment that speaks the rhetoric of change like Warren was just doing. You know, I want to help the grassroots. They act as though they're for the people. What they do is they exist to speak that rhetoric, to sucker young people, people who want change, into their vacuum, and they suck them back into the establishment. Controlled opposition, Gary. That's what Warren is all about. She talks about she cares for people, all of this and that, but ultimately what she cares about is strengthening state capitalism, crony capitalism. And you can see that in a very simple way. The way you can test these guys on it is they always want to do regulations, 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 right? And ultimately what you realize, regulations actually help the big guys. So she supported Dodd-Frank. Dodd-Frank actually supported banking regulations, which only 5 of the big bankers could afford. And it destroyed nearly 2,000 to 3,000, 4,000 small banks. What made America great, and hopefully will continue to, is the small banks. We have 12,000 small banks. You want to get a loan, you build a relationship with your local banker. You don't have to go to a behemoth bank like in other countries. So Elizabeth Warren's policy of regulatory policies help the big guys. Mark Zuckerberg right now wants to be regulated. You know why? Because he can keep out smaller Facebooks out because only he can be able to afford regulatory policies. So it's a backhanded way of supporting the establishment. They always speak about regulations, regulations, as though that's going to help everyday people. What it does, it actually increases cost, and it's a way to keep out the small guys.
Let's talk about some of the things Elizabeth Warren and the rest of the Democrats believe need to be included in this CV relief bill. Okay, the first one, rather shocking. I mean, the laundry list that they've included is, it's ridiculous. No voter ID to get a ballot. An anonymous ballot harvesting. How does this correlate to the pandemic, and how would this affect your campaign, your race?
Well, I think there's another provision in the bill also for going cashless, right? To creating a digital cash for the...
Creating a digital currency, a digital U.S. dollar. That's another point as well.
Yeah. What I believe is happening right now before our very eyes is the invisible enemy, quote unquote, coronavirus, is being exploited. And this is all very well planned to execute all the imperialist agenda of the deep state. So you want to eliminate all borders. That's what essentially eliminating voter ID, IDs is. I mean, I was shocked. I never voted in my life because I didn't care for electoral politics. When Trump ran was the first time I voted because I liked the fact that he was a disruptor and he was going after both parties. And I remember going to vote. They didn't even ask for my ID. I said, you don't need my ID? They go, nope. Total opportunity for cheating. These things like the cashless society, again, they're using the fact, oh my God, we don't want people passing viruses by touching cash, right? It's basically a pretext for essentially going to negative interest rates. They own our money. Nothing is tangible. Everything is tracked. Everything you use is monitored. It's basically the advance of top-down rule. The 5G issue, I've been asked, what do I think about from a health standpoint? I haven't had a chance to go into that, but I can tell you 5G is an opportunity to put cameras everywhere with AI, the same AI we gave to the Chinese to watch lip movements, so you can understand what people are saying. It's not a future of innovation. It's a future of using technology to head us into the dark ages. When you suppress free speech, you basically move to scientific consensus. There's no more scientific method, which means you actually have to do experiments and find the hard thing of what's actually taking place. With scientific consensus, you can create lies, and from which you can use to create a fake problem and a fake solution. Oh my God, CO2 is a pollutant. Fake problem. And you create a fake solution. We need to impose, carbon tax. Well, the real solution is we need to lower pollution. And the Paris Accords allows China to pollute, going from 11 billion carbon metric tons to 22. India gets to pollute. Fake problem. Oh my God, these viruses are going to kill us all. No, it's a fake problem. The real problem is we have immunocompromised people. The real solution is how do we beef up the immune health of people? Well, that means we have to attack corruption because these corrupt lawyer lobbies, politicians are the ones who destroyed our air, water, and food. So they don't want to talk about that. They rather move this thing to control you, quarantine you, vaccinate you. This is a black and white choice. Do you want truth, freedom, and health, or do you want power, profit, and control? That's where we're at. And a lawyer and a lobbyist is not going to deliver that.
ShivaForSenate.com. There's Dr. Shiva, before we go, do you have any final thoughts?
If people want to understand everything I've talked about it and to keep it simple, if you can take a piece of paper and draw a triangle, on the bottom left, put a little ball there and put freedom. On the top of it, put truth. And the bottom right, if you put health. Now, all of these things are connected. So let me explain. It is from freedom that we can unravel truth. and it is from truth we can figure out the health for our bodies, our infrastructure, our society. And it's only when we're healthy do we have the warrior spirit to go fight for our freedom.
Okay, I'm going to get into the category of Trump real quick because I only have one thing. Now, I don't know if you all know this. Most of you do. I'm a member of MoveOn.org, Communist Party of America, Democratic Socialists of America, Resist.org, Department of Homeland Security. I mean, I got lists of people, places that I belong to, I'm a member of, and they don't know who I am. But I do it because I get information from them. So I got this email. You're going to love this. And this is a confidential email sent out only to high-ranking MoveOn.org members. Dear MoveOn member, last week in the middle of Donald Trump's mind-boggling incompetent handling of the Trump plague, see, the communists are trying to start up a new word, Trump plague. His approval rating hit 48%, his highest ever. This wasn't some bogus fly-by-night poll. It was a Washington Post ABC News poll, one of only six polls rated A-plus in the country. According to data expert Nate Silver, and as part of a trend, Trump's polling averages have been shooting up across the board for weeks. It's infuriating but true. The coronavirus crisis is helping Trump politically. Voters are rallying to their leader while Joe Biden and Bernie Sanders have almost completely disappeared from the news. But there's another problem. Voters don't know how badly Trump has botched the response to this crisis. Okay, so I can go on. I got a whole page of this stuff here. So basically, these communists and these guys, they get their talking points from DailyKos.com. It's a communist organization, or Democrat organization, or socialist organization. Same thing. You take a volume knob, turn it down, you have a Democrat. Turn it up halfway, you have a socialist. Turn it up all the way, you have a communist. They're the exact same creature, just a communist is a Democrat off the leash. They're freaking out. Because Trump is doing the best that can be done by someone in his position, and people are thanking him for it and appreciating it. And these guys are freaking out. They can't believe it. We got to do something. We got to, you know, how can this be happening? We have to start telling people how bad he's been doing and how bad he screwed up this response to the Trump plague. So I just thought I'd read that to you just for the hell of it. Maybe you needed a laugh in all of this. Well, there's a bunch of stuff under the liberal psychosis, like Bernie Sanders bailed. Boy, did that freak out the millennials and the communists and on Twitter. How dare he? This is the last chance I give him. Blah, blah, blah. Well, so I'm not going to go. There's a lot more on it, but I'm going to go back. I'm going to go down further into the government threat because we don't have a lot of time left. This is getting out of hand. And the government has now come out and is telling us what we can buy, what we can't buy. It's like Walmart sells a little of everything, right? Well, the government's trying to tell Walmart what's essential so you don't sell anything to people that's not essential. Like clothing, it's not essential. Phone cards are not essential. Yeah, that's great. They're doing this. The government is really, really, really reaching itself out. And, you know, I hate to use a generality like the government. So what it is again, these are specific parts of the government, certain governors, certain mayors. There was a big article last week when the stimulus bill was passed, or the week before, and I didn't quite grasp it, but basically it was some ridiculous thing about how we won, the Federal Reserve is being destroyed, taken over by the Treasury, and you know, all of this crap, and I'm going, no, I don't see that as real at all, and I was right. The Federal Reserve is not being taken over by anybody. As a matter of fact, the Federal Reserve was given $450 billion and the right to secrecy of what they do with it. The Federal Reserve has become more secret now than it ever has been. It doesn't have to tell. I mean, it's worse. It's more secret. How do you get more secret from secret? I don't know. But this is the reality of it. Now, we look at Kushner. Kushner's team. And this is not just Kushner. This is all kinds of government agencies, the deep state. They want more surveillance. They want a lot more surveillance over everything that we do. They're talking about tattoos on our arms that are ultraviolet, can only be seen with special lighting, and tells whoever reads it, if we've been inoculated, what our history is, the whole nine yards, and if that ain't the mark of the beast, I don't know what is. And all of this stuff, every single thing that's been popping up about the destruction of our rights and our privacy seems to emanate from Bill Gates.
Nearly 2,400 years ago in ancient Greece, Plato discussed the importance of population control. Aristotle advocated the use of abortion and infanticide. In 1798, an essay on the principle of population was written by Thomas Malthus. He outlined the idea of positive checks, which are diseases, wars, disasters, famines, and genocides. Malthus believed that these things should be utilized to increase the death rate, and believed that human misery was an absolute necessary consequence. In 1859, Charles Darwin published The Origin of Species. In it, Darwin only hinted at the implications of human populations, but his cousin, Sir Francis Galton, became obsessed with the idea. In 1883, Galton published Inquiries into Human Faculty and Its Development, wherein he wrote that his intention is to touch on various topics more or less connected with that of the cultivation of race, or, as we might call it, with eugenic. The term comes from the Greek word eugenis, of noble birth. In the early 20th century, eugenics became an academic discipline in universities. Organizations were formed and funded to win public support. The Kaiser Wilhelm Institute and the Cold Spring Harbor Institute rejected the idea that all humans are born equal and began selling the idea of cultivating a new master race of noble bloodlines. Planned Parenthood was formed in America by racial eugenics advocate Margaret Sanger. President of IBM, Thomas J. Watson, established a special subsidiary in Poland called Watson Business Machines to assist in the Nazi invasion of Poland. This business continued throughout the war, and IBM managed the entire operation from their headquarters in New York. During the Nuremberg trials, the Nazis quoted U.S. Supreme Court Justice Oliver Wendell Holmes in their own defense. They claimed that their eugenics program was being run from the United States. The Nazis were rightly admonished for war crimes, but not Thomas Watson. He went on to create the IBM World Trade Corporation and passed IBM on to his son. His granddaughter ended up marrying Margaret Sanger's grandson. Bill Gates' father worked on the board for Planned Parenthood, and his mother worked on the corporate board for IBM, who Bill partnered with to create Microsoft. With no medical background, Bill Gates then went on to become the world's foremost pusher of vaccines and population control. Do you think this is all coincidence? The Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation funds the WHO, the NIH, the CDC, and the UN. And now he is saying that until we get mass vaccinations, we might never be able to gather in groups.
And which activities like mass gatherings may be, in a certain sense, more optional. And so until you're widely vaccinated, those may not come back at all.
The president's coronavirus response team are all pushing the Bill Gates vaccination agenda. Dr. Fauci is on the leadership council for the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation. In January of 2017, Anthony Fauci told a crowd at Georgetown University that there would be a surprise outbreak during the Trump presidency.
There is no question that there will be a challenge to the coming administration in the arena of infectious diseases, both chronic infectious diseases in the sense of already ongoing disease, and we have certainly a large burden of that, but also there will be a surprise outbreak.
Deborah Birx is a board member for the Global Fund to Fight AIDS, Tuberculosis, and Malaria, which was founded by the Gates Foundation and known for millions of dollars of fraudulent misuse of funds. In October of 2019, Bill Gates sponsored Event 201, a simulation that estimated 65 million people killed by coronavirus. In November of 2019, the Peerbright Institute, funded by Bill Gates, was granted European patent number EP3172319B1 for a coronavirus vaccine that may be used to treat humans. Today, Dr. Fauci says the virus will keep coming back, and he says the ultimate game changer will be a new vaccine. In Australia, the Prime Minister is telling people the shutdown will last months, that it's the new normal, and that the only way out of your homes is to accept the vaccine. There is no proof that vaccines are the answer. In fact, the CDC admitted in federal court that it does not have studies to support the claim that vaccines do not cause autism. A top UN scientist admitted that vaccines are killing people. It is time to do some hard thinking. Will you allow your government to impose forced vaccinations?
You know, having been through other serious issues, particularly the very painful early years of HIV/AIDS, when people talk about conspiracy theories, you will always have conspiracy theories when you have very challenging public health crises. They are nothing but distractions. You know, I can assure you, we have so much to do to protect the health and the welfare of the American people that I would just hope we just put those conspiracy stuff and let somebody write a book about it later on, but not now.
Anthony Fauci does not like conspiracy theories. And if the president does not fire several members of his COVID-19 response team, the books written in the future will likely be about the Bill Gates Big Pharma takeover of America. Dr. Fauci is on the Leadership Council for the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation. Deborah Birx is a board member for the Global Fund to Fight AIDS, Tuberculosis, and Malaria, which was founded by the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation. Robert Redfield, current director of the CDC, was a founder of the Institute of Human Virology, who has received $31.8 million from the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation. Seema Verna has worked with Sue Desmond Hellman, chief executive officer of the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation. Alex Azar was president of Eli Lilly's U.S. division. Under his leadership, prices for the company's top-selling insulin drug tripled, which led to a class action lawsuit. Jerome Adams received a medical scholarship from Eli Lilly. Stephen Hahn is commissioner for the FDA, partnered with Bill and Melinda Gates in 2017. Stephen Mnuchin was a member of Skull and Bones at Yale University, and he partnered with George Soros to create SFM Capital Management. Brett Giroir was the director of DARPA, and CDC official Dr. Nancy Messonnier is Rod Rosenstein's sister. Many have been concerned that President Trump has been surrounded by deep state operatives for the past 3 years. Well, now he seems to be completely surrounded by Big Pharma and Bill Gates loyalists, all pushing vaccines as the solution and admitting that they might make things worse.
Does the vaccine make you worse? And there are diseases in which you vaccinate someone, they get infected with what you're trying to protect them with, and you actually enhance the infection.
Los Angeles has announced that they're going to pay people to snitch on their neighbors.
You know the old expression about snitches? Well, in this case, snitches get rewards. We want to thank you for turning folks in and making sure we are all safe.
And the public is now being prepared for mandatory certificates of immunity in order to freely leave their homes.
Can you imagine a time where Americans carry certificates of immunity?
You know, that's possible. I mean, it's one of those things that we talk about when we want to make sure that we know who the vulnerable people are and not. This is something that's being discussed. I think it might actually have some merit under certain circumstances.
Welcome to Medical Tyranny 2020.
I actually put a couple clips together so I can get all of this stuff right in one little spot here. But this is the elites really now taking off the gloves and saying, now we need to really clamp down on these people. Now, there is a good thing that occurred, and you're going to love this. The communists don't. They hate this. The FBI keeps track every month of how many people buy firearms through the NICS firearm background check. Okay? This is, now understand I said month, not year. Since this Wuhan virus started, and this is just from a gun dealer. This is when you fill out the 4473. This is not private party sales. In January, there were 2.7 million firearms sold in the United States. In February, there were 2.8 million firearms sold. And in March, it's a record breaker. 3.7 million firearms were sold in March. The more people are concerned and worried about being subjugated by the government, the more they want to arm themselves. Hey, this goes back, FBI checks, this goes back to 99. And in January of 99, there were only 591,000 firearms sold in the United States. January of 2020, 2.7 million. If I wanted to, I could go through and I could just start adding up all of these dates. All of these January, February, March, April, May of from 99 to 2020. It would blow your mind. All right, I'm going to talk to you about something. Now, this is the time when we have to store food. No ifs, ands, or buts. And you're still lucky because the food shortage hasn't hit hard. The cattle ranchers haven't really started butchering their cattle and trying to sell it because they have no restaurants or schools, you know, or cafeterias to buy all their stuff. So they're still trying to rely on the retail market. So here's something that I can teach you about, and it's called a food saver. This is a vacuum packer. It's not a giant commercial unit. It's a retail unit. You can buy at Walmart. You can buy at Costco. You can buy it at Black Sheep, Big Five. There's all kinds of places you can buy it. And what it is it looks like a little laptop, okay? And you open the top of it, and there's a groove in there, and you take a plastic bag full of something, and you lay the edges of it in this groove, and you close it down, you clamp it and push a button, and it vacuum packs it and then seals it. That's an oversimplification. But there are many different of these units out there, and the key behind this is that it will help you to stretch out the longevity of the food that you're going to pack. You want to buy bulk food, okay? Now, this thing uses plastic bags. They're specially designed so that they don't collapse when you suck on them, like, you know, when you're trying to pull air. Well, you can buy those in Costco, the bags, and they do a bag, a pouch, they call it. And it's a pint size, quart size, gallon size, give or take a little bit. And you fill it with whatever you want to put in there, and then you vacuum pack it. Now, we used to use this. When I first started using this, it was more for storing things I wanted to keep waterproof, such as ammunition, silver and gold coins so they don't tarnish, silverware so it doesn't tarnish, matches so they don't get destroyed by humidity. And just a few other things. To me, it was just a novelty. But then I started to see the value behind it. I got a seafood company, and this is some years back, and I would buy shrimp, 20 to 30 size shrimp, and I'd need to repackage it into 1 pound bags, and I didn't want to just drop it in a baggie and zip. It doesn't look very professional. So I started using this vacuum packer, and I would put the exact amount I want in this bag, and then I would fold it over, stick it in the unit, clamp it down, and vacuum pack it, and it would come out solid as a rock. It really looked professional. And then I thought, you know, I can do the same thing to meats, to beef, to chicken, to pork, to fish. And I learned all of what I'm telling you the hard way, because the food saver company itself didn't know how good this unit was. My wife and I would go to trade shows, and one of the agents would be there trying to sell this product, and they didn't know what they were talking about. They had no clue how to explain it to people. The first time I saw one, it was at the ASD show in Las Vegas, and there were these two salespeople there, a man and a woman, and they were really nice. They didn't know that much about the unit, so I took over, and I explained this to people, and I told them all about it and what it can do. I said, look, it's like this. Boneless skinless chicken breasts on sale, $1.28 a pound. Usually they're about $2 something a pound. So I buy 100 pounds, and then I'm going to vacuum pack it. Okay, tri-tip, roast. I would buy the roast on sale, and then I would slice it into steak size, and then I would vacuum pack it. Now, I'm missing out a step here on purpose, but I'm telling everybody all of the stuff that you can do with this. I went fishing, caught a whole bunch of rainbow trout, but I didn't want to eat them all then, so I want to eat them, you know, later on. So I vacuum pack them. And I'll tell you a little trick with fish. Obviously, you're going to gut them. You're going to clean them. If you want to leave the head and tail on, that's up to you. But then what I did was I would simply take butter and spread it on the inside of the fish. And I would take a lemon or three half slices and put it on the inside of the fish. Sprinkle any seasoning on the fish and then vacuum pack it. so it's all ready to cook when I get it out of there. So I'm telling them all these different things that they can do. And I said, look, I also have I go canoeing, and where I'm going, it's about a one-week trip. And when I get there, I'm going to stay about 2 weeks. So I don't want a chance of anything that I'm going to be needing to get wet. So, and this sounds kind of funky, but I would vacuum pack my underwear, my socks, my pants, my extra shoes. I would vacuum pack all of my clothing and equipment. And then literally, I don't care if we capsize, because it's going to float down the river. And it'll be dry when it gets to where it's going. So what you do is you buy bulk food as cheap as you can. Or at this stage of the game, you just buy it. Because if it's there, it's there. And if you see 20-pound bags of rice, 25-pound bags of beans, that means you better buy it now, because you turn around, it'll be gone. And that's not I'm not teasing you with that. That's exact how it works. We went into Costco a week ago, and there were 3 pallets of rice. And I went to the bathroom, come back, and there was only 1 pallet left. That's how quick it goes. So the food saver is for storing food long term. Some you can store for a few extra months. Some you can store for years. It'll vacuum pack dry goods and meats. Now, there's tricks behind doing the meats, and I'll tell you this. You can't vacuum pack something that is wet. I don't care what anybody tells you. I don't care what the instructions tell you. You can't do that, because it'll suck the moisture into the motor and burn it out. You take care of these units, they'll last you a long time. So what you do, let's just look at chicken breasts. So you get these chicken breasts. Then what you do is you clean them off, cut off, you prep them. It's what you're doing. You're prepping your meat. You cut off the fats or the pieces of the meat that you don't want to have. Now, this is beef, chicken, fish, pork, doesn't matter. You cut off what you don't want. Then you wrap individually in cellophane, and you put it in a freezer to freeze overnight. Aha, you see? You can vacuum pack frozen stuff. You can't vacuum pack the raw stuff. So the next day, I pulled out the steaks. Now, let's say I'm going to... Each bag is going to be a meal. Let's just say that's how I do it. So that means I want 2 steaks in there. So I'll take 2 of the frozen wrapped in cellophane steaks and put them in there and vacuum pack it. Now, those go back in the freezer. Okay? But I've eaten that kind of beef 5 years later. You cannot tell the difference, because it's a vacuum in there. Same thing with the chicken. Same thing with the fish. Same thing with the pork. Now, you have to be careful, because these are plastic bags. They can get a hole punched in them. If you buy chicken breasts with the ribs on, it can poke a hole. That's why when I prep these, I'll break off the tip of a bone. Like if a T-bone or something, I'll break off the tip of that bone, or I'll break off the tip of the rib, and I'll wrap a little bit of extra cellophane on there just so it won't poke it. And you can tell. The way I do it is I have a Rubbermaid tub to my side, and I vacuum pack a bunch of different things, and I put them in that tub. And before I take them out, I look through there and see if any of them have lost their seal. Some might. You just pull it aside, try and figure out why it lost its seal. Sometimes the plastic just bad. Sometimes those baggies, they're bad. Now, you have 2 types of bags you can use. You can use a pouch itself, which is sealed on 3 sides. Or you can buy a roll. And you buy a roll of this stuff, you can seal something that's 10 feet long if you want. Which brings me to another thing. We did an experiment with a Marlin stainless steel .22 rifle. I took it, cleaned it, put it in a soft case. One of those little real thin soft cases, because, you know, rifles have little pokey parts to them, like the front sight, the rear sight, and whatever. Then I put that in a bag, and I vacuum packed it. And then I put it in my garage for 10 years. And when I opened it up, it was just as perfect as the day I put it in there. No rust, obviously. Moisture can't penetrate those bags. So you can vacuum pack stuff for long-term storage. And that's real. You can vacuum pack, you can break down an AR, and you can vacuum pack it. You have to remember what I said there. Things can poke through there, so you want to protect the plastic from anything that can poke through, and that's why I used soft cases. And the gallon size rolls, when I say gallon, it's the width, it's 11 inches. That's usually more than wide enough to stick a rifle in. Let's see. So again, you prep the food, and we're talking the meat parts. You prep the food. make sure they're frozen, and then you can vacuum pack it the next day. Now, there's something else you can do with frozen. You can take soups. And we've done this many, many, many times. You take a, what do you call it? It's a Tupperware sandwich, square round, and you put soup in there or stew in there, and then you freeze it. And the next day or a couple days later, you turn it upside down on the countertop, knock it out, stick that square frozen thing into a baggie, into one of these pouches, and vacuum pack it. Take that, stick it back in the freezer. Now the cool thing is let's say you want to make lunch. Take out one of those pouches. You don't even have to open it up. Put a pot of boiling water on. Drop the whole pouch and everything in there. It'll cook it in the pouch, or heat it up in the pouch. Same thing with fruits and vegetables. You freeze them first. Like I'm going to be doing a bunch of asparagus. They got asparagus on sale up here, 58 cents a pound, 55 cents a pound. So you blanch it, and then you lay it on a cookie sheet with kind of like wax paper down, and you lay the asparagus out to freeze. And when it's frozen, you put it in a pouch, vacuum pack it, stick it in the freezer. Now, that's the wet foods. Then you can do dry foods as well. And everything I'm telling you, I've already done. Rice. I have hundreds of pounds of rice. And what I do is I figure I put 4 cups in a gallon pouch, and I vacuum pack that. You don't need to add oxygen absorbers whatsoever. So, now, right? Okay, so you got this pouch, and you got this rice in there. And obviously, it settles to the bottom of the pouch, so it's bottom heavy. But you put the edge that's going to be vacuumed inside where it's supposed to go, and you close the top down and you latch it, and then you start the vacuum. Quickly, you kind of move the pouch around and flatten it out so that it is flat. And when that thing gets done, those 4 cups of rice are that solid. They literally are. We ate some white rice that I had vacuum packed 20 years ago, and it just, you can't tell the difference. It's just as fresh as the day I put it in there. We vacuum packed walnuts. Now, we came out of Modesto, lived there for a number of years, and they grow thousands and thousands of acres of walnuts there. So you got walnuts, hold walnuts, cheap. But they always warn me you can't store walnuts because they're high in oil. Now, there's an adapter you can get. Here's a problem that you come across. This vacuum, this food saver, will pull a vacuum so strong that it will crush most things that are in it. So if you tried to vacuum pack walnuts, the hold ones, so you just have the meat, you're going to smush it. So what we do and what Food Saver does, it has two things. It has a series of canisters. These can be square or oblong or tall and round. And they have a lid that seals. So you put your goods in there, put the lid on, and you hook a hose, which comes with all the Food Savers, into that. And it sucks all the air out of that canister. I did a test. I took a bunch of chopped lettuce. I put a handful in a quart bag and put it in the refrigerator. And I put a handful in one of these canisters and put it in the refrigerator. The lettuce in the quart bag went bad in 3 days. The lettuce in the canister didn't go bad in a week, so I ate it. This is the idea of what this stuff does. It can expand the longevity of it. Even if it's not long-term, it's short-term. Like we put all our medicines that we're storing in these canisters, and we stick them, and then we vacuum pack them, and then we stick them in the refrigerator downstairs. So that's one. The second thing they do is Food Savers have an adapter for a mason jar. So you take whatever you want to store. It doesn't matter what it is. It could be walnuts. It could be pastrami. I don't care what you want to store. You put it in a mason jar. You seal it up just like you would if you were canning. Put the seal on top. You put the lid on top, and then you put the seal down, not all the way. In fact, you don't even put it on. You don't put the seal on yet, the screw-on part. You put the seal on top. I'm sorry, the lid. I keep getting the words mixed up. The lid, which is the little flat part with the gasket on it, you put that on top, and then you put this adapter right on top of that. And then you have a little tube that goes from the top of that adapter into the food saver, and you hit vacuum pack. It sucks all the air out of there. And when it stops, you break the pressure from the tube lift the adjuster over, put the seal on, and tighten it down. I've had walnuts 20 years, easy, stored like that. So you can do wet foods, you can do dry foods. Beans, rice, you can store in these things, as well as you can store beans and rice in a 5-gallon bucket, Mylar bag, and oxygen absorbers. But this is quicker, and you open up, it's like you got 5 gallons of beans. Well, do you want to open up a five-gallon bucket of beans, which is about 25 pounds of beans, or do you want to open up a one-pound bag of beans? Okay, that's the thing. That's why I like the Food Savers, because it allows me to take out less than I want to take out. Now, there are many different versions of this, of the Food Saver. Every company that I told you sells them, but they always have different versions. And sometimes they're in stock, sometimes they're not in stock. Walmart sells them. You really don't want there's one that stands up. It's probably about a foot and a half wide, maybe 6 inches deep, and maybe a foot high. You don't want that one, because what you get so much waste. You know, let's say you have a 17-inch bag, and you put your meat and stuff in it, and you stick it in the upright one, and it vacuums it fine, and then it seals it. You've got a 5-inch tail on that thing. You've just wasted 5 inches of that pouch. You see what I mean? In some of the smaller, more simple units, you only are going to waste maybe 2 inches, maybe an inch and a half. It just depends on the unit. I'm going to have links up so you guys can go and look at these things. You can see all the different models. There are literally, it's like lingerie. There are literally all kinds of models out there. Let's see. Deals. What do they got on sale now? I'm at Food Saver right now, foodsaver.com. Yeah, they have different ones. You don't want the ones that are high. That would be like the 5800 series. You don't want those. They have littler ones. There's all these different ones. You just have to look at them. You follow the KISS formula. Keep it simple, stupid. So the ones that I like are the ones, you go on eBay, in fact, and you can find them. Now, these things have a seal on them. They have the clamshell, the lid that comes up has this long oblong seal, kind of like, not styrofoam, but open cell foam. And then it has a matching seal like that on the bottom. Those wear out over time. So you can, like I go to a yard sale and I look and here's this Food Saver and the thing looks almost new and the guy goes, I don't know what the hell's wrong with it. It won't suck down. It's just, give me a dollar for it. So I do. And I take it home and I find out what model it is and I go on eBay and I find the replacement seals, buy them, put it in, and the thing works like perfect. So I've had like 6 or 7 of those like that. And yeah, you can wear them out. You don't want to store powders. You don't want to try and store flour. First off, flour does not store. I don't care if you vacuum pack it or put it in 5-gallon buckets. After about a year or so, it does not function like it's supposed to. That's why long-term preppers use the wheat grains, the wheat, the kernels, and then they get a grinder and they grind them up themselves as they need it. Because the powder does not store well. And I mean any powder. I don't care. That's why dry goods is fine. Wet goods, like beef, chicken, pork, fish, that kind of stuff, vegetables, as long as you freeze them first, and then you vacuum pack them, and then you put them away. So there are things that you can and can't do with these things. It just depends on your mood and how much money you want to spend and if you actually listen to me when I talk to you about them. The Food Saver is something that every survivalist should have. And right now, it is almost vital that people use them. Because the food that you can buy right now that seems cheap is going to disappear within months. This is not a question. This isn't some hype I'm throwing out to you because I do care about you guys. So the Food Saver, I told you how to package your wet stuff. And this, you just have to be imaginative. And the only drawback, and it's a pain in the butt, is the fact that some of these pouches aren't going to hold a vacuum. And you're not going to know why. You're going, what the hell's wrong with it? I've had to cut them down. Now, you know, I can do that. You can do that. You can trim one edge and then you seal it with the Food Saver. It's got a little heat strip there and it'll seal that. Now, this Food Saver has a thermal override that if you've used it for too long, it'll turn itself off and it won't run. It takes like almost 5 minutes to cool down. So realize that. Whenever I do, like I did the chicken, okay? I did like, I think the last batch was 50 pounds. And what I vacuum pack is two of the large breasts at a time. So I vacuum pack it, and then it automatically seals. As soon as it pulls a vacuum 100%, it turns the sealer on, and it'll melt the edge. I open the top up. I leave it open while I'm moving that into the Rubbermaid tub and setting up the next one that I'm going to vacuum pack and seal to help it cool down a little bit during the times. So you can vacuum pack stuff, all kinds of stuff. If they do a demonstration, or they used to, where they would take two empty cans of Coke and they would put them inside a pouch and they would vacuum pack it. And that would pull a vacuum so well that it would flatten those cans. I mean, literally, quarter inch thick. That's how much this will flatten. I kind of screwed up. I took two boxes of Strike Anywhere matches and put them in a pouch, and I vacuum packed it, and it literally crushed them. It didn't. I was worried that it was going to start a fire, but it didn't. So, you know, you can halfway vacuum pack something and then hit the seal real quick, and then it'll seal it. So it's halfway. Like, it's not necessary that matches be stored in a vacuum, but it's necessary that a lot of the air is out and that it's waterproof. That's the key. You can store things that you don't want to get wet in there. So, you know, you could figure things out yourself. You can just use your imagination. And again, if you put a pouch in, or you cut a piece of the roll down to whatever, you know, you set a something to vacuum pack, and you close the lid, you hit the start button, it will vacuum. It'll pull a vacuum until it's got the vacuum, and then it automatically shuts the vacuum pump off and goes to the seal part. If it never goes to the seal part, if it just keeps sucking, obviously you got a leak in there. Now, sometimes I would pop the lid open again, and I would seal the three sides. You can put the side in, close the lid, latch it, hit the seal button. It would seal, not the vacuum, the seal button. And I would seal all three sides. Maybe there's a little microscopic leak or something, just for the hell of it. That only works 50% of the time. So if you got a bad seal, if you can see it, fine. If you can't see it, don't screw around. Just throw the bag away. That's the important thing. Now, buying your materials are cheapest on eBay. I'll have a link to a company that I use, and they advertise on eBay. They also advertise, they have their own website they use also. You can find some of this stuff. It'll blow your mind how cheap it is. I have seen on eBay people selling a unit that they got for Christmas for $20 free shipping. The food savers generally are $50 to about $250. It just depends, again, on what you get. VacAndPack, PAC.com. And it has the bags there. They have 8x12, 6x12, 10x14, 11x50 rolls. And they're not expensive at all. Like 8x12, okay, that's considered a quart. $17 for 100 of them. That's cheap enough. You know, it really pays for itself in the long run. I had fish that was in my freezer for 10 years. I didn't know this, but it was in my freezer for 10 years. And my brother came to visit, and I opened up my chest freezer, and I looked down in the bottom, and I go, uh-oh. We popped it open. It smelled like I just cleaned it. That fish smelled like I just cleaned it. So these things are phenomenal. You can find out yourself what you need to do, what you should do, what you can do, what you can't do. You know, don't get stuck on buying the most expensive unit that's out there. Now, Costco does sell the replacement rolls and the bags. I had never done the actual division to figure out if that's a hell of a deal or best way to buy it, because I don't use a lot of the rolls. I use mostly pouches, and those I buy on eBay because the vendors that sell them on eBay are commercial, and you can actually save quite a bit of money. A lot of times it's like, you know, 20, 30 bucks. Free shipping, that kind of stuff. You need to stock up on all the different sizes of pouches, from the small ones up to the large ones. I'll tell you what I do with the small ones. And when I say small, I mean they're smaller than a pint, little tiny ones. I put together a full course of antibiotics, and that would be like 40 capsules or something like that, and I vacuum pack it with a little instruction and date, a little instruction slip inside of it, and a little date of when it was packaged, and I vacuum pack that, and I put that in the freezer. It'll store indefinitely. You stock up on all the different sizes. See, you can cut these pouches down to fit whatever you want. We have stored coins and coin collections in there. And the largest pouch is a little bit too wide. So I just cut it down, cut an inch or two off, and then seal that part with the heat sealer. And then put whatever I want in there. So stock up on the different ones. Problem is that the supply chain can dry out right now. Everything that's going to happen is not going to happen in slow motion. Things that are going to happen, it's going to happen overnight. I'll give you an example. You're going to hear in the morning that tires are having, they're having trouble getting tires in the country. You and your wife are going to talk about it, and next day you can say, you know what, maybe I better buy a new set of tires. And you call up your tire company and give them your size and tell them what you're looking for. And they say, I'm sorry, we don't have any Coopers in here. We don't have any Pirellis. We don't have any Firestone. We've got some oddball stuff that come out of Yugoslavia, but we can't give you a warranty on them. And that's all we've got. We're waiting. They're back-ordered. They're back-ordered. And we're hearing that a lot here at Survival Enterprises. It's back-ordered. It's back-ordered. It'll be there in a month. It'll be there in a week. It'll be there in 2 months. I'm a master distributor for Mountain House Freeze-Dried Foods. Guess what they told me when I called up and said I wanted 5 pallets? 8 weeks and call us back. If you see something that you want or need, if you think, and I have said this 1,000 times, you get this thought in your head that says, you know, maybe I need to get some new underwear. That's God saying now, and then you're going to let you do what you want. And most people say, well, I'll put it off till next week. And then you go in, you find out, unless you wear boys size 3 to 6, you're screwed. So you need to, if you think you need something, it means do it now. We have people that come in here, and they're astounded that our store's still open because the Rhino governor of Idaho made a mandatory closure of all business, non-essential businesses. Well, we're an essential business because I sell eggs, farm fresh eggs. So we have food. We sell food, eggs. We sell olive oil. We're also healthcare. So we're an essential business. And it's the strangest thing. People come in and they go, "What? You're open? Nobody else is open." Well, all of the mom and pop stores are closed. It's the big stores like Walmart and Home Depot. Those are open. I hope I gave you some information that'll help you out. Do me a favor. If you see an email that comes from Kurt@SE1.US or Survival Enterprises, show us the courtesy of at least reading it. And I wasn't kidding when I said we send out 6,000 emails and I keep track of how many are actually opened. And we've never had more than 800 open. People think either it's spam or here's the other thing. My email goes to your junk or your trash. The problem is that we have our own servers. So I'm not using Google or MSN or Gmail or any of that crap. But all of those, they think that we're spam or they classified us as spam. So they shunt our emails into your junk file. So do yourself a favor and do me a favor. Look in your junk file. Don't just say, oh, that's junk. I don't have to look in there. Look in there. You'd be surprised. If you can use anything that we sell, buy it, please. We need the money. You can go to survivalenterprises.com, SE1.US. Call us, 800-753-1981. Our phones are always open. Doesn't mean we are, but the phones are always open. We're actually answering the phones 7 days a week from 9 in the morning till 8 at night. And if we don't answer it, that's because we're busy or you got two other lines going. Just leave a message. We'll get back to you as soon as we can. Keep your nose in the air and your ear to the ground. We're getting to the point now where things are happening fast. But if you listen to everything that I've said, which is going to be hard because you get more news from me in 1 hour than you get from anybody else in a whole week, especially to agricultural news, because that's the big thing. You know, the two things that everybody does is eat and then get rid of what they just ate. This is the Armchair Survivalist signing off. We'll see you next time.